talking to Nancy Fitzgerald.
Yes, we are. As always, good morning to you, Nancy.
Well, good morning to you, Kelly and Steve. Aww. It's a great day after a fabulous weekend.
Oh, it was a very nice weekend. I hope that you had a nice time. Did you enjoy fireworks anywhere? Did you do anything explosive?
Well, my idea of explosive and yours might be two different things, but yeah. No, I was good. I was good.
She was good. She didn't blow anything up this year. No joke exploding golf balls on the course this year. I mean, nothing. No, she's good.
That has happened, but no, I was good. I didn't have enough bad people around me to make any noise.
Oh, no influence. Got it.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
She didn't have her crew with her is what she's saying.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Anyway.
Well, this is a really, really great question. Timely, of course, because we just celebrated our independence from England. So tell us, you know, how did this question even come about whether or not 4th of July can be considered a religious holiday?
Well, this came about as kind of a joke because some people didn't understand that Monday was, you know, a holiday. And they said, I didn't know it was a religious holiday. Since when has 4th of July been religious? So that's really how this came about. But it's just so critical. Of course, 4th of July, I think everywhere, it lasts about 3 days, right? With the early fireworks. And then last night, again, there was some more. So, but it's a holiday that we like to celebrate in this country. And again, as you say, we celebrated in celebration of the independence from religious tyranny, you know, which is kind of interesting, from England in 1776. And so the answer is no, it's not religious, but God is very much a part of the beginnings of this country's independence. It's very interesting to really go back, as I did, and read the Declaration of Independence and then our Constitution this weekend. Yeah, I guess that's what I was doing this weekend. But really fascinated with the idea that there are many strong biblical messages that need to be heard by all Americans regarding this day, with the celebration of the 4th. On that day, political leaders signed a document that affirmed our leaders' desire to become free, not meaning they could do anything they wanted to do, but clearly free to be on their own to make decisions. And they were determined that America not only be free, but be a democratic system. And that all men, and they wrote this, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they endowed by their creator, capital C, with certain unalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, separating from the political tyranny in England was not easy. We know much, much, much fighting, bloodshed on both sides. It was absolutely awful. And we think about what people went through, that we might be free from England, from the tyranny, and be on our own to really make this country a country that values individuals and gives everyone the freedom to be who God called them to be. You know, we should be grateful for this, but you know, things have happened since that time for sure.
A couple of things, maybe. I think you're right. Even
for sure.
Based on everything that you just said, Nancy, because it really leads into the next question well, too. Even though July 4th, Independence Day, it's not a religious holiday like Christmas is or like Easter would be. Explain why, though, for so many Americans, July 4th is a time to reflect on God's goodness. Why is July 4th a time for that in particular?
Yeah, because God was in their midst. Although there were Christians there, there were more deists, those that believed in God, than there were otherwise. You know, Jefferson was a lover. He just loved President George Washington, he was a big fan of his and he admired his faith, but he himself, you know, would call himself a deist, I think, but he didn't believe in miracles. He didn't believe in, you know, the virgin birth and all of that. So he was a messed up guy, but he certainly understood what this country needed and he fought hard for it. But, you know, we see the marks of God in Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all inhabitants thereof. This is molded into the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. So again, we see very much that they recognized God. And to say the least, in this country, God has showered his grace on us. And he was the power and the wisdom behind America becoming independent, because it was God's desire that Americans would humble themselves and commit to depend on him for wisdom moving forward, to do his will, to be a country, a one nation under God, is what people through the years, up until the last really few years, during this time, and I'm sure times will change hopefully for the better, but this idea that all people could say without fear of retribution that yes, they believe in the Lord, and it's incredible. But the interesting thing is when we look at Psalm 33 and realize that this separation of church and state, which was written in a letter from Jefferson, it's not in the Constitution, by the way, but this separation is about allowing people to have a choice. That's what they're saying, not forcing them into any one way, but allowing them to have a choice, which England did not give them. But we see in Psalm 33 that God will always have the last word. God does not step aside. And I think it's so good to look at this again. Let all the earth, Psalm 33, 8 through 22, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven and he sees the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out over all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope of salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in steadfast love, that he might deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be honest on us, even as we hope in you. And it's just such a beautiful piece in scripture that this is the Lord's world and we need to depend on him, watch him rule. You know, we just cannot shut him out.
Well, let me then ask if John F. Kennedy had something to say about the Declaration of Independence in relation to things that were spiritual. What was that, Nancy?
Yes, and you know, here again, we cannot take God out of governance. We just cannot. And I know on July 4th, back in 1946, when John F. Kennedy was, I think, still in his 20s, he was running for Congress, but he affirmed the Declaration 170 years after its signing, you know, by saying this: The informing spirit of the American character has always been a deep religious sense. Throughout the years, down to the present, a devotion to fundamental religious principles has characterized America through an action. Now, and this is what he says, our government was founded on the essential religious idea of integrity of an individual. It was this religious sense which inspired the authors of the Declaration of Independence. Quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. So there it is. Again and again, we best not forget the Lord in all that's going on today. Mm-hmm. He certainly was a voice in the forming of this country, for sure.
Oh, amen. Hey, Nancy, we're going to take just a short break and have you hang on for a second. But when we come back, we want to get into talking about how we are as Christians to engage with the culture, no matter what level, and what that should look like when it does come to government. So we're going to come back and pick that apart in just a couple of minutes. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week.